Good morning. Thank you to the elders for giving me the opportunity to speak to you this morning. I'm trying to think of a lesson. A lot of what's been said here this morning, you can find a lot of parallels between what was said here in our class and what was said at the table earlier and what we're going to be talking about today. And I thought that I would tie in my lesson to, because as many of you know, I'm a history teacher, I'm a civics teacher, in high school. And, my lesson this morning has really got to do with root causes and understanding those root causes and what to do about them. So as far as the First World War, if you guys know, American history, or you guys know world history about what started the World War, what sparked it, you would probably say that it was the assassination of Archduke Francis Ferdinand. And the reason why is because what this did is this sparked a series of events. It sparked a chain of events that happened that led the world to war. He was killed by Serbian nationalists in the city of Sarajevo, which was formerly a Balkan region that was hotly contested, but part of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire. And a lot of people resented that. A lot of people resented the fact that Sarajevo was part of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire and not part of Serbia itself. And so these Serbian nationalists went in, these nationalists called the Black Hand, went in and sought to assassinate the Archduke when he and his wife were on a visit. What happened next was the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, with the full support of the Empire of Germany, gave a harsh ultimatum to Serbia about what they were going to do in the next few weeks as far as the investigation into the Black Hand and the nationalists that assassinated the Archduke. Well, Serbia kindly said that we cannot meet these requirements in this ultimatum. And so what happened was Austria-Hungary then declared war on Serbia. But Serbia had an ally in Russia. And even before the declaration of war between Austria-Hungary and Serbia happened, Russia already mobilized their military. They already got them ready for war. And as soon as that declaration of war came out against Serbia, Russia mobilized their military. They declared war on Austria-Hungary and Germany. And then Germany then declared war, and then France, Russia's ally, declared war on Germany and Austria-Hungary. And then Germany declared war on France and neutral Belgium, because Belgium just happened to be in the way between where Germany wanted to invade France. And then, because of that, Great Britain then declared war on Germany and Austria-Hungary because of their alliance with France. And so within a week's time, the entire continent of Europe was at war. And we're talking about more than just the entire continent of Europe. We're talking about these empires are now at war. We're talking about global effects of this war. But it all started with the spark of Archduke Francis Ferdinand. But the question really is, how did the assassination of this Archduke bring all of these countries within a week to war? And this war would be what would be known as the first mechanized war, the first modern war, so to speak. And after the war, 1917, 1918, you start to look at the numbers that had died in this war. And you see that this had been the most devastating war the world has ever seen. But how in the world did this event spark this kind of carnage? Well, think about that. This is a picture over here of the Archduke Francis Ferdinand and his wife Sophia. And they were gunned down by this gentleman here. This is Gavrilo Princip, who was of that Serbian nationalist group, the Black Hand. But the Archduke himself wasn't necessarily of huge global importance. He was the heir to the Austrian-Hungarian throne, to be emperor. However, You know, assassinations happen all the time in Europe. You know, as a matter of fact, there were wars in the Balkans that had happened that didn't spark a global response. So when you take a look at it, almost the entire map of Europe was either leaning one way or affected by this. You see Switzerland, Spain, they remain neutral, but you see that these giant powers, these giant empires were now at war. And then the world struck a peace, and you notice I have peace in quotation marks here. France, the UK, which is not the University of Kentucky, this is the United Kingdom, and the U.S. brokered much of the Treaty of Versailles. This is the treaty that had officially declared the peace, the end of the war and the negotiated peace. But Germany, Austria-Hungary, and the Ottoman Empire, which would join the Central Powers later on, they had no say in the matter. They were not at the negotiation table. They weren't able to say, how about we do this? How about we do that? They were able to make zero contribution to this. And here's what the peace consisted of. They blamed Germany for the war. It's called the War Guilt Clause in the Treaty of Versailles. They blamed Germany for the war. Germany had the biggest, baddest military ever. And because they gave their full support to Austria-Hungary, they were blamed for the war. They were essentially blamed for what the war had brought to the world. And they forced Germany, Austria-Hungary, and the Ottoman Empire to dissolve their empires. Basically, all their possessions overseas were then given away. Austrian-Hungarian Empire was broken up. Germany, the German Empire there on the continent, was broken up. The Ottoman Empire was broken up. They also required Germany to pay $80 billion, which in today's money would be several trillion dollars, in reparations. And as they scheduled the payments, Germany wouldn't have been paid off from this debt until 2010. And this happened in 1918, this peace. It's almost 100 years of paying off these reparations. The problem here is that this Versailles Treaty, the peace, fixed absolutely nothing, because in about 20 years' time, the world was back at war. Not just a few of these countries were back at war with one another, but the world again was back at war a generation later. Because the root causes of the war were completely ignored. The root causes of World War I were completely ignored in the negotiation of the peace, which led to another war. So what were the root causes? Well, one was the idea of militarism, the building up of a nation's arsenal. And not only that, but it was a glorification of this military service in that only in fighting war can you really gain your masculinity. Only in fighting a war could you really glorify your country. This idea of nationalism, this deeply ingrained belief that one country is better than others, or that you have a superiority of nationalities. And this was shown time and time again with the altercations between Great Britain, Germany, and France. The idea of imperialism, this economic competition that happened between these countries, not only just in Europe, but on a global scale. And then, of course, what really entangled everybody was this alliance system. And the fact that so many countries aligned themselves against one another, that they were trying to position themselves like chess pieces throughout the world. And so what you have is a ready recipe here for disaster. And all it took was the assassination of an archduke to make that happen. Now, Wilson, Woodrow Wilson, President of the United States, who, of course, the United States got involved in 1917, the President of the United States, Woodrow Wilson, recognized those root causes. And he developed a peace plan called the 14 Points. And those 14 points were aimed at exactly what caused the war. Not necessarily over who shot who, but what was happening in the world that created such a situation that a global war could break out. And so what he called for was the end of imperialism, self-government for colonized regions, free trade in Europe to eliminate economic competition, a League of Nations, which ironically, because the Versailles Treaty was rejected by the U.S. Senate, the United States couldn't join, and a limitation to the size and power of the world's militaries. All of these aimed at trying to establish a peace that was going to last, a peace that was going to prevent something like this from ever happening again. But it was ignored, in large part because the United States came late to the party. A lot of the fighting, or most of the fighting, hadn't happened anywhere near the United States. And so the other countries listened, but in large part they rejected a lot of what Wilson had to say. And because peace was not on the agenda, it was revenge. There were lands to be had, spoils of war. Power was there for the taking because the dissolving of the Ottoman Empire, the Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and the German Empire meant that there was a power vacuum that France and Great Britain were willing to fill. But we see in direct consequence of this peace that was struck up, we see the rise of fascism in Italy under Benito Mussolini. Italy was largely ignored at the negotiation process, and they wanted to expand. They thought that they were going to get part of part of the spoils of war, and they didn't get anything. And so Benito Mussolini vowed to do that for the Italian people, the aggressive expansion of the Japanese Empire. They were also on the winning side in World War I, and they got nothing. They were ignored at the negotiation table, and so we see the aggressive expansion into Japan, or from Japan into China in the coming decades. We also see the rise of the Nazi Party in Germany. We also see decades of unrest and resistance to Western powers in the Middle East, the development leading to World War II and the development of nuclear weapons. And so what we see is that this peace that had completely ignored the root causes of World War I led to even more destruction. So what does this have to do with us? What does this history lesson have to do with us? Well, first of all, as Christians, as you and I can see it, what we see is that if we just simply take things for face value and we treat the symptoms, we're never going to alleviate the disease. We have to look at the root causes of what is problematic in our lives. We have to look at the root causes of our sin and our sinfulness. You know, I was talking with Alyssa last night. It's not enough to resist hitting someone. You have to examine why you're so angry in the first place. You know, we talked about this morning at the table about the hot sauce. You know, what would you pick up? The hot sauce that was going to melt the face off, or something a little less abrasive? By the way, I've had the face melting hot sauce before, and it did not go well for me. But the idea is that you have to examine yourself, and you have to be able to come from a place where you can respond reasonably. But the thing is if you think that being a Christian is just a single action or resistance of a single action, you know, you're wrong. What you have to do as a Christian, you have to change your entire view of the situation. You cannot just change your behavior. You have to change your heart. You have to change the way that you believe how you should respond about these things. So when we look at the scripture in Romans 12:2, Brother Tim talked about this in his lesson a couple of weeks ago. He said, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And so what we see is that when we become Christians, what we have to examine is the root cause of our sinfulness. We cannot simply just hold on to who we were. We have to become completely transformed. Woodrow Wilson, when he was trying to negotiate the peace, was trying to get the world to see that. Was trying to get the world to see that they have to completely transform everything about the British Empire, everything about the French Empire, in order to preserve peace. We see the same thing in Romans 6:4. We therefore were buried with him through baptism and death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. You have to be transformed. You have to be raised in newness of life. The Allied powers refused to change themselves. They did not want to give up their colonies. They did not want to give up their national superiority. They wanted to see Germany suffer. All these things, without the willingness to transform, without the willingness to be new, and to look at it through a different view, led to the Second World War. And so within about 40 years, the entire globe lost millions of people to war. Are we ready to change everything about ourselves to avoid destruction? Are we ready to put to death the old person that we used to be in order to become brand new? And the root cause of sin in our lives is our desire to be the person that we once were. And I'm talking specifically to those who have been baptized, to those who have been transformed. The root cause of sin in our lives is the desire to be the person that we were before, the person that was put to death. Because think about where we were. We were selfish. We were manipulative. We were prideful. We were cruel. All these things have no place in God's kingdom. And being baptized into his death and raising to walk in newness of life, what we need to do is we need to build ourselves into the person that God wants us to be. We need to understand that root cause of our desire to be the person that we once were, and what we need to do is we need to understand that we have to build a peace within us. We have to build a lasting peace. Not something that just avoids sin, but something that chooses God. In Luke chapter 22, we see Jesus saying that, you know, not my will but be done, but thine. And so that's the mindset that we have to have when we're transformed. When we completely change everything so that we can achieve that peace that Christ brings to us. In 2 Peter, we see here his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Through these, he has given us his precious and magnificent promises so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now that you have escaped the corruption, the world caused by evil desires. And so how do I build myself to be that new creature? How do I build myself into this lasting peace of Jesus Christ? We make every effort to add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to your knowledge self-control, to your self-control perseverance, to your perseverance godliness, to your godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. You have to build yourself in the form of God. You have to build yourself in the form of Christ. You have to completely disassemble who you were before and be transformed for the lasting peace of Jesus Christ. For if you possess these qualities and continue to grow in them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will keep that destruction from happening again. But whoever lacks these traits is nearsighted to the point of blindness, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. And so what we need to understand is we have to attack the root causes of our sin, the desire to become the old person. And we have to build ourselves in the nature of Christ so that we can have that lasting peace, so that we can live in him. Instead of avoiding sin, we are choosing God. Identify the problem and be honest with yourself. And I think that's something that that a lot of us have trouble with, is examining our lives and being honest about it. You know, when Alyssa says something about me, you know, not doing the dishes or the laundry or something like that, something that is very undesirable that I do, the whole number of things. You know, at first, you know, my reaction is, hey, I'm not that bad. You know, and then I examine myself, and that's not the point, is it? It's about being part of the family. It's about helping out at home. It's about doing those things that I'm supposed to be doing. You know? And when I'm honest about it, yeah, I should have done that. Or I should have done this. Or, I need to do this better. And you have to be honest with yourself about building yourself up. Because, you know, through Christ, what we have is we have something that is very precious. And we have to understand that. We have to understand that it's worth working toward. But you have to be honest with yourself about where you fall short. And you have to ask for help. You know, we talked about the tie that binds us. We've been talking about that in class, the tie that binds us together. We have a common goal, and we have a brotherhood to help accomplish that in each and every one of us. And we need to be able to rely on that. You know, what we saw after World War I in that Versailles Treaty, we saw a bunch of division, a bunch of selfishness that wanted, each country wanted something for themselves, which led directly to World War II. But as Christians, we should not be like that. In order to build a lasting peace within yourself through Jesus Christ, you need to ask help from your brothers. You need to pray to God about it. You need to be honest with yourself about where you fall short. Be honest with yourself about what you need to work on. You need to ask for help from your brethren. And you need to rely on God. You have to pray to God. You have to rely on God. If you want to be transformed and not conformed to this world, you have to pray to God. You have to lean on Him who gave us His Son so that we could have that life, so that we could have that peace. And you have to build yourself in the way that you know how. You have to read the Scriptures. You have to understand the ideas that are presented there. You have to look at how you add to your faith, how you build yourself, in what manner you do it. And ignoring the root causes of our sin will only bring us more pain. Like I said, just within 40 years, we had the two most destructive wars in the world's history. Simply because the root causes were ignored and they were allowed to fester. Don't change your behavior, change your heart. Change the way that you think. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you're not conformed to this world. Like I said, so that you're not simply just avoiding sin, but you're rather choosing and living for God. And by only examining those root causes and seeking to correct those, can you have that lasting peace within Christ Jesus. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now I know this lesson wasn't necessarily designed to talk about that road to salvation. But we're about ready to sing a song, "Are You Washed in the Blood?" And so when we talk about that lasting peace, when we talk about the idea of looking at the root causes, we understand that the root cause of sin is the desire to be like the old person for those who have entered into Christ. But for those who haven't entered into Christ, for those who have been baptized with their sins, that's the first step into that peace, is to understand that sin is in your life and that you need to do something about it. And what we can do about it is that we can be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. We can be buried with Him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life. And in that way, we can be transformed from who we once were to who God wants us to be. And if you're subject in any way to an invitation, I ask that you please come and together we stand and sing.